it's like, I mean, listen, Jesus spoke in parables. He wasn't, he didn't lay out sort of, commands in a way that was boring and flat. He spoke in story. That is part of what we have been, given the ability to do.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
So, Ashley, we're about to see you go on a literal pilgrimage on this BBC series. But first of all, I want to take you right back, if that's okay. What did faith mean to you as a child? Because you were brought up in a God-fearing house, weren't you?
Oh, that's such a complicated question. It should be simple, shouldn't it? I think so, yes. I think God fearing house is actually quite accurate. I think that there was always, and it's funny, isn't it? That word fear, like it's not like fear like you're afraid. It's more like fear like you're in awe, isn't it? You're sort of fearful of doing the wrong thing because you respect this word, God, and that was my house. But I think that as I've got older, I've sort of learned there's such a difference between believing in God, fearing God, and wanting to have a relationship with God, and so interestingly, my family have always had that, a lot of the way that we operate and our morals and the way we talk to each other. And my dad would always, say grace before a dinner that we ate together, et cetera, et cetera. But we didn't go to church regularly, and we didn't pray, or we didn't all the time, we didn't have sort of Christian sort of framework to our household. It was more like a Christian foundation. And then my dad started to find his faith properly, maybe quite a long time ago now, over a decade, maybe 50, 10 to 15 years ago. And then me and my brother and the rest of my family more recently.
And did you have any spiritual experiences as a child? What did God mean to you as a child?
I think weirdly, as a child, a lot of my experiences were maybe relatable to a lot of people in terms of I had a lot of Christian friends actually in school, and a lot of my experiences as a child were understanding God was there and believing God was there, but not quite finding my place because I sort of had that, I mean, you never feel quite good enough, or you're never quite doing enough. And a lot of the conversations that I had were less about how God's there for me and how God loves me. It was more about what I should be doing. And it became a lot about religious framework, if you like, rather than about God. So my experiences, I think, growing up with God were believing and understanding why, a lot of God's teachings morally aligned with who I wanted to be and who I was being taught to be. But I think it was religion that I didn't quite understand when I was younger.
Did you have wild teenage years?
No, not really. I was too busy. Do you know what? I'm grateful for it, but I was too busy dancing and doing what I do and sort of like honing that craft in a way.
And so, what did connect you back in with God?
Maybe like a number of different things, really, like a number of different touch points. I think that 2020 in particular for everybody was a really interesting year. I don't quite know what changed in 2020 when everyone went into lockdown, but the world changed somehow, and something opened within me, cracked within me, I suppose. The veneer sort of cracked, and I remember it being a really interesting time, really difficult time, really tough time emotionally, spiritually. I wouldn't say financially, but as well, everyone was in that boat. You lose jobs, the world's shutting down, so it, and I also as well had a 1-year-old and a newborn in lockdown. So life felt like, I'm sure for the whole world, but I can only speak personally, really flipped upside down for me, and just caused me to ask so many questions. And I went on a whole journey really of new things being fixed, things being broken. And I think that it kind of led me back to God, because I was just, yeah, it just felt like there was too many holes. And there was this, I think my vicar of my church described it as, like we're all sort of born with this God-shaped hole in our heart, and then we decide how we fill it. And I think 2020 hit, and when the rug of life was pulled out, the rug of the world in a way was pulled out, the system, was pulled out from underneath our feet. All of a sudden, those things that I was trying to fill that hole in my heart with, they overnight weren't enough. And so I was like, right, and it was like, now I need to fill it with more stuff and different stuff. And oh my gosh, it was a panic. And then it was only when I started to try and, so to speak, fill that hole with God that I found any sort of peace, really.
What did you do? Did you just rock up at church, start reading the Bible, do an Alpha course? How did it all
No,
work?
not at all. It was more asking questions. Like it was really, yeah, it was the Bible really that pulled me back, but not because I was reading it, but because I would sort of, if I had a dilemma or I wanted to know something or I felt a certain way, I would try and answer it or decipher it or work it out in sort of like a worldly way, in a sort of self-help type of way. And then sometimes that just didn't work. And so every now and again I would go, well, what does God say about this? What does the Bible say about this? And I would read a scripture or ask a question or, try and always go back to it. And every now and again, that would just bring me a sort of peace and understanding in the way, or set a standard for me that I was like, okay, that makes sense. And sometimes it's not easy, is it? Like sometimes it's not always the answer you want to hear. And I think that's what a lot of people find hard about truly following, I suppose, a faith in a way, because it's not going to be all roses and it's not going to be something that's always the answer you want to hear. Sometimes it's going to be hard and it's going to push you and strip you back and question you. And yeah, so in a way, I sort of just fell back to it piece by piece, question by question. And then I was too. I sort of have a little bit of social anxiety when it comes to, meeting big groups of people. And so I started to live stream the services from my church rather than go. And I did that for weeks, months, months and months, just live streaming in. And then finally was like, do you know what? This feels right. So went down and never looked back.
And what changed for you internally?
Oh, it's a hard question to answer, isn't it? Probably it was the first time I think I felt like I belonged, if you like. It's the first time I felt, at home or at peace in a way that it wasn't like everything was perfect or sorted out, but I don't know, it was the first time that things really made sense. That's the way I can describe it. I'm quite logical in that way. I don't mind how much hard work there is or how difficult it is, but if you say to me you've got to go from A to B, I'm like, oh, okay, fine, let's do it. I'll work hard. But if I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm going or where I'm supposed, if I feel uneasy, I really don't like that feeling. And I think that what changed is all of a sudden that it just things just were just revealed to me in a way that I was like, wow, now I sort of understand this. It's a really difficult thing to do, but a really simple thing to understand. Love God and love your neighbor. It's quite simple.
Simple to understand, harder to
Yes.
do in practice sometime as well.
Exactly. Very hard to do, but actually, I don't mind that. An impossible challenge that is easily explainable for me is like, wow, like it doesn't sort of give you the handbook of life and say to you, this is exactly what to do and when to do it, but giving you this aim that you can sort of, in a way, you can never reach, right? It's like trying to reach up to this standard of Jesus and go, this is who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be. It's like you're never going to do it, but the idea is that you sort of go, wow, well, if I, do you know what that is? It's a better version of, what is it? Aim for the sky, land in the stars. When people say, you aim for the goal, and actually you sort of then go wherever you land, as long as you're going in that direction, you're going in the right way. And so, yeah, I think that it just sort of made sense to me. And I remember being really emotional the first time, just seeing Another little kid from the church run up to one of my little kids, give them a flag, and off they ran into, everyone was worshiping and singing the hymns, and my kids ran off, and I was like, wow, this is like a second home, and it felt lovely to be there.
So that's sort of the point at which the pilgrimage picks up, isn't it? You went on this incredible walk to Holy Island with a group of other well-known faces from right across British culture, and where you were saying you'd connected with God, but the pilgrimage took you on a slightly different journey as well. Tell me a little bit about that. Did it challenge or strengthen your faith, or a bit of both?
No, it didn't challenge it. I think it, do you know what, the pilgrimage for me was, it came at the perfect time. I literally, had a crossroads decision of, there was a job that I had, can't quite say what it is, but there was an opportunity I had that would have been deemed as, I suppose, success. It would have been deemed as something really good to do. It was just a really good opportunity, and pilgrimage came up, and it was almost at the same time, and I couldn't do both together. And I remember thinking, well, pilgrimage is something that feels like it's right to do in my heart. It feels like a journey that I want to go on, but it's much quieter. It's not necessarily, as big or as sparkly, and the other job was, really well paid and everything. And I was thinking to myself, but it just felt right to do the pilgrimage, and it felt like something I really wanted to explore. And the reason was because faith for me and believing in God, it always been somehow separate to actually banjo in the public eye, so to speak. So I think that one thing I've always loved about the idea of doing pilgrimage, of course, I wanted to meet the people and, explore the questions and genuinely do the walk. I love hiking. But I think for me, it was about trying to consolidate how I felt in my heart and how I presented outwardly. And just because, you sort of develop a character over time, and you develop a sort of way of being, don't you? And so to be able to bring both into really sharp focus, be in front of a camera, essentially doing a TV show, but also doing something that genuinely and personally and spiritually meant a lot to me, was something that I'd never done before. So
Did it feel
that
quite vulnerable, almost like you were taking off a layer?
do you know what? No, it didn't feel, do you know what? It didn't feel vulnerable, because that was almost like the first real question. It was, will this feel vulnerable? Will I do this? Get into the environment and go and feel either, I don't know, awkward or odd or not quite know how to handle it. But it was the opposite. And that was one of the things that really felt great and empowered me. Like, I almost in my heart knew it would, but at the same time, I'd never really done it before. And so to sort of walk into a group of people who don't necessarily believe the same thing you believe, and then have to, I suppose, in a way, that was the thing that was hardest, being worried about representing what you believe well enough. I thought, I was like, oh gosh, I didn't realize when I turned up, I was like, oh, I'm like the only Christian. And I'm a really and truly a baby Christian. Like, I'm sort of not, like decades into, I don't have all the knowledge in the world, but like, I'm here now representing this, and what I don't want to do is represent it poorly. So that was definitely probably my biggest worry. But at the same time, I would have to just be honest. I think that if there are things I didn't know or things I didn't quite understand, I would say that,
The July issue of Premier Christianity is out now. This month, we explore how people are finding Jesus in 2026. Read the remarkable story of a whole family coming to faith, Pete Hughes on why the Western Church is being revived, and discover how one Alpha invitation became an Instagram journey towards Jesus. Subscribe today for just 60p a week and get full print and digital access to the UK's leading Christian magazine. Head to premierchristianity.com now.
And you had a moment, didn't you, towards the end of the pilgrimage, just as you were approaching Holy Island, where something new happened in your faith, didn't it? Tell me about that.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't ready for, well, I mean, I can't explain it. It's hard. It's really hard to put into words. I wasn't ready for sort of feeling what I think is and was like God's presence. Like, I wasn't ready for sort of just being sort of stripped back. And I remember walking along, and we were crossing the causeway to Holy Island, and the sun had broken through the clouds, and somehow it had framed the island alone. There was no light either side. It was just perfectly framed, and the sun was sitting centrally over this island, and we were walking. And I remember looking to my right and left a few times actually, and saying to people, can you see that? And people going, yes, lovely. And then I said to someone, can you feel that? Like, wow, like is this not incredible? And people going to me, yes, lovely. And I realized in this moment that I was like, oh, maybe I'm feeling this on my own. And I was walking, and I was just in this moment, this like awe moment of just like, wow, seeing the island and seeing the light and feeling something that I didn't quite understand. And I went off for a little walk on my own, found this. This was at lunchtime. We had like 2 hours to ourselves while we were waiting for things to be reset. And I went on a little walk and found this sort of like hill kind of cliff edge. And I tried when I was on the pilgrimage, I mean, I try all the time anyway, but especially when on the pilgrimage, to read my Bible every day. And I was sitting, and I was reading. And I just had this, I had this, just this moment of encounter of just genuinely feeling like, yeah, feeling God's presence and being in the moment. And it's something that's really hard to explain, but it was, it was so small and so big at the same time. And something that I can't quite put into words, but yeah, that I will never ever in my life forget that moment of sitting there and just being completely bowled over by what I felt.
And it's so funny, isn't it? Because if you felt that experience, and some listeners listening to this right now will know exactly what you mean, others will be, I've never felt that before. Did it feel physical? Was it a tingle? Was it cold? Was it hot? Was it happy? Was it
It
sad? How'd it
was
feel?
gosh, I wish I had the words. It's not, no. Do you know, that's the thing, isn't it? And I've never really understood this before. So, some people, I've been thinking a lot about this recently, when people say, is it really encountering God if it only happens in church at the high point of the music, or if it's when something incredible happens and you get this goosebump rush of emotion? And actually, I think that then is trying to then pin encountering God down to an emotion. And actually, that's a human thing. I think that even when it comes to conversation, and hearing God, so to speak, I used to think to myself, maybe it is this big booming voice that comes and says, do this. And it's none of those things, I don't think. That what I felt wasn't just an emotion. It was sort of like a deep sense of, I can't, honestly, I wish I could explain it, but no, it's not, it wasn't a rush. It wasn't a goosebump moment. It wasn't sort of like a high point in the music. It wasn't anything apart from looking out. And I think that, do you know what? I think the best way to describe it was the deepest sense of gratitude mixed with a complete sense of peace and belonging. And even though I didn't understand, if someone was to say to me, you could feel that feeling forever, then that's good enough for me.
I think you've done a very good job of trying to describe the indescribable there. The pilgrimage also took you into a Muslim prayer room as
It
well.
did,
How was
yeah.
that experience?
Really interesting, because I think, again, especially because of, the way the world is and because of stereotypes, you walk into these situations, don't you? And instantly I was like, well, will it be difficult? Will I have to defend my faith? What will happen here? And it was just a really, interesting, eye-opening experience to see Hassan and how he prays, and to understand, just a slight bit more about his faith, and be there with Tasha as well, who was on the pilgrimage, who doesn't follow a faith necessarily. So there was me as a Christian, there was Hassan as a Muslim, and there was Tasha, who was in the middle. who is, you know, doesn't follow a faith, so to speak. So it was a really interesting experience seeing what people felt, how people lean, what people respond to. But if anything, it just strengthened my faith and the deepness, I suppose, of my own beliefs.
So what next for you? You are on tour with Diversity at the moment, going all around the country, getting rave reviews. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What difference is, you know, as you say, you feel like you're a baby Christian. God's showing you new things all the time. What difference is that going to make to your work with Diversity, your work on television, your role as, you know, a public person, a public profile, who's got a faith?
Quite a lot, I think, because it's already just in the past, I'd say in the past couple of years, been making big differences, and definitely in the past year, because a lot of stuff that we do, obviously, you know, in our industry is booked in, like, you know, 6 months, 8 months in advance. So a lot of stuff that I have been doing was already sort of, you know, like our tour, for example, we booked our tour in over a year ago. The pilgrimage was booked in 6 months, if you know, whatever, before you do it. And so you have this kind of backlog. And so as I look forward, since pilgrimage, weirdly enough, pilgrimage was quite an interesting turning point of looking forward and planning the new and the next phase. Because when I was on the pilgrimage, I already knew where I was going to be up until mid 2027. So there isn't really a huge amount that I could change about my schedule. But since last year, I think that, I don't know how to explain it again, I think that I just feel like a bit of a new calling, and I feel that I've had an incredible, incredible chapter. But I do feel like there is something new on the horizon, and I don't quite know what it is. But I think that it would be impossible for me not to talk about God more. That's what I think the honest answer is. I think that it feels like something that I've developed, this set of skills to be able to create things and entertain people and connect with people. And I would love for that to be put to good use. And the only good use is to glorify upwards, right? And so I would love the idea of being able to create more, and through my art, you know, hopefully lead more people towards God, you know.
Yeah, well, the world of Christian dance could probably do with, you know, a bit of a reset. David, of course, there's lots of dancing in the Bible. Have you connected with some of the Bible's dancers yet?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think about that time, but when it's David's dancing in the streets unapologetically, and I think to myself, it's funny, isn't it? Because obviously, when I was younger, being a boy and dancing wasn't cool, and I just did it because I love dancing, let alone love God. But the idea now of just being able to, like on our tour at the moment, we do a whole section that is actually, at the end of it, it's all worship music, and we dance, and it is that idea of just being dancing unapologetically. It is really freeing, and, you know, luckily for me, that's what I do for a living anyway.
So yeah, you dance for a living, you choreograph for a living. So when you're in church or when you're worshipping God, does it feel like when you dance it's worship, or do you start thinking, oh, hang on, I need to tweak that movement? Or is it, can you dance in worship for you?
Do you know what? Again, because I'll go on forever about this. So it's actually the other way around. It's like a lot of people think, and again, this is just my understanding anyway, that worship is about saying, you know, saying, I'm going to worship God and I'm going to dance or sing or do something upwards. But again, something that I've learned and realized is that what I've learned about worship is it's actually also in the things that you don't do. So like when I sort of would normally dance in a certain way or dance to a certain song or want to say a certain thing, when I feel that, like, that, no, do you know what? It doesn't align with me. That's not right. In a way, that's like that like Holy Spirit giving you that pull. It's like, in a way, that for me is almost then saying no, and I change what I do, and I then move my action to be more, I suppose, more towards God. And in a way, like when you move those actions in itself, I sort of understand that to be worship. And so, like, I nowadays, I think just in the way that I create, like music choice, what I say, when I say it, when I do it, everything is just steered more towards how I feel inside. And so even the more, even the less, like obviously it's worship if you're dancing to music and your hands are upwards, but even just in the way that I think that it changes my life and my actions, like I think that just in the way that I create, I like to think that worship in a way is always sort of present, you know?
Worship is what you do, isn't it, towards God. Let everything, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. As
exactly. And that's what I think. And, you know, especially when you are a creative, like I had this conversation with someone the other day about the power of creatives, because, I mean, the first thing God did in the Bible was create. So I always think to myself, you know, the power of being able to create and connect. It's like, I mean, listen, Jesus spoke in parables, you know, he didn't lay out sort of, you know, commands in a way that was boring and flat. He spoke in story and he spoke. And I think that like, that is part of what we have been, you know, given the ability to do. So I genuinely believe that being able to create and being able to connect and talk and combining that with worship is a powerful, important thing.
Do you know what, though? I have a pet peeve that, you know, some of the worship songs we sing, I don't know about in your church, but, you know, that old Martin Smith song, "Oh, I Feel Like Dancing," or Matt Redman, you know, "I'm going to sing like never before, dance like never before." And most people are just shuffling from one foot to the other. Could you teach, Ashley Banjo, can you teach the UK church to really dance?
Really? Oh, I can give it a go. That's such an interesting point when people don't really move, you would just like, yeah, let's go. But then I'm guilty of it too. It's not like I sort of like move around. I'm
don't
too big.
Don't tell me you do the 2 foot shuffle in church.
Oh, listen, I'm a guilty as charged 2 foot shuffler.
Well, there we go. That's your next mission. That's the next documentary.
Okay,
teach the church to dance.
Fine.
Is there for you actually a scripture that's really become precious to you in this part of your journey?
Yes. I'm really bad at remembering the verses, but I think that the concept of don't be anxious, don't be afraid. I think do not be afraid is probably one of the most reoccurring messages that I've taken from scripture. And I think in every circumstance it counts, you know, not just about whether it be about making a mistake, whether it be about walking onto stage, whether it be about what's going on in the world right now. There are so many moments that particular idea has changed my life. And I sort of say, you know what, I'll put it in God's hands. Don't be afraid. It will work out, you know, and it may not work out how I want it to work out. It may not be perfect. It may not even be easy, but don't be afraid. You know, I think that particular concept has genuinely changed my life for sure.
Was anxiety a thing for you?
Not really. I just think that it's not like at one point it was for sure, like especially around that 2020 period, you know, when you don't quite know what's happening in the world. I remember for the first time just feeling overwhelmed, anxious in general. But I think that we make choices out of fear and anxiety and, you know, trying to gain some sense of control. We try to control our little corner of the world, and we're not, what can we really ever control? You know, we can't. So I think that those decisions in my life have always been the ones, if I've tried to manhandle or wrestle something out of fear into submission to try and, you know, be better or take control of it, that they never really works. It never really sticks. And actually they never really lead you, I don't think, to a good place. I think sometimes when you surrender and you just say, listen, I want to try and do the right thing, or I want to try and do a good thing, even if that means the road is harder, don't be afraid, don't be anxious, whatever it is. You know, if you've got a task in front of you that feels impossible, or you've got something that you feel like you can't do, don't be afraid, you know, let's go. And that's that idea, is trusting in God in that way has never let me down. So I believe that taking that from scripture has been a life changer for me, for sure.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Keep your wellness routine going strong all summer. Kachava's new travel packs help you stick to your daily ritual even when you're on the go. Just one packet of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake provides complete nutrition wherever you are, with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. Simplify your daily ritual. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS for 15% off. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.